While the Roman Catholic Church in the United States struggles with its sex abuse scandal, churches in Canada face their own crisis. For more than a century, Canada's government forced Native children into boarding schools run by the country's leading churches. More than 10,000 former students have claimed they were raped and beaten. They're blaming priests and other school officials. Hundreds of millions of dollars are being spent to settle claims and to rebuild Native communities. As North Country Public Radio's Brian Mann reports, the crush of lawsuits is pushing Canada's most prominent religious groups toward bankruptcy.
When Robert Joseph was 6 years old, the Canadian government took him from his family and his tribal village on the coast of British Columbia. He was sent to a boarding school for Native children run by the Anglican Church. The first day, Joseph says, he was whipped on the hand for speaking Kwikwala, his native language.
Every night when I went to bed as a little guy, I cried every night. And I'd cry myself to sleep, and I'd wake up, and I'd cry. And it was a scary place to be.
Over the next 10 years, Joseph says, school officials abused him sexually and beat him so severely they ruptured his eardrum.
I have to admit that there was a point not too long ago, just a few years ago, that there was a lot of vengeance on my heart to get even. There is a huge amount of anger.
Through the 1970s, Canadian law forced more than 100,000 Native children into church-run schools. The goal was to assimilate them into white culture. By all accounts, the effort was a disaster. A government report published in 1996 described sexual abuse at the schools as pervasive. That report triggered a barrage of lawsuits. Robert Joseph hasn't yet sued his school, but thousands of former students have come forward, demanding compensation from the government and from the churches. 6 years later, Canada's biggest churches are still reeling. Jerry Kelly is a spokesman for the Canadian Conference of Bishops. He says victim claims are shutting down parts of the Roman Catholic Church.
A month ago, the Oblates of Mary Immaculate from Manitoba province filed for creditor protection. At least one northern diocese is completely out of assets. That would be the Whitehorse Diocese. If there's any further litigation costs, I cannot see how they could meet those costs.
Lawsuits have also crippled the Anglican Church, forcing program cuts and bankrupting the Diocese of Cariboo. Parishioners in that remote and thinly populated corner of British Columbia fear that their churches will be auctioned off to pay settlements. Bud Smith volunteered as a lay official in the diocese before it shut down.
The government of Canada asked for valuation of jewelry, such as the bishop's ring and the chalices that are used in the communion service. We're talking about church buildings. We're talking about residences for priests and their families to live in.
Anglican leaders say lawsuits could force the closure of three other rural dioceses in the next year. But critics of the churches say this financial crisis is unnecessary, part of a campaign to avoid paying settlements. Here in Ottawa, Canada's capital, the neighborhood around the Parliament building is rich with fabulous churches. The Notre Dame Basilica was recently refurbished by the city's Roman Catholic Diocese at a cost of millions of dollars. Veined marble pillars rise past the ornate pipes of the organ. Canadian government leaders say some of this wealth should go to boarding school survivors. But as in the U.S., churches here exist legally as dozens of separate organizations. Synods and bishops' groups have enormous influence setting policy and church doctrine. But a financial firewall exists between individual orders and dioceses. Sean Tupper heads a new federal agency organized to settle the dispute and make reparations. He says those walls should come down.
It goes beyond the corporate structures, and it speaks to the moral foundation of the churches. We think there's a lot more strength in the churches if they look at it as a faith community and try and tackle the problem at a national level.
So far, church leaders have chosen to let rural dioceses go bankrupt rather than expose the wealthier urban churches to the flood of lawsuits. The Anglican Synod is still negotiating with the government, hoping for a blanket settlement. But the Roman Catholic Conference of Bishops has broken off talks. Spokesman Jerry Kelly says the law is clear.
What the government needs to recognize is that there is no pan-denominational responsibility to liability in this case. The responsibility rests with the federal government and those organizations, provinces of the Oblates of Mary Immaculate or the Jesuit Fathers, or in some cases a particular diocese that worked under contract with the federal government in the operation of the schools.
This response angers survivors, who say the schools were established, at least in part, to spread the spiritual influence of the parent churches.
The day-to-day operations were really a matter of church morality and practice.
Former boarding school student Robert Joseph.
The Roman Catholic Church has to take responsibility and has to confront all its own demons. And maybe the experience in the U.S. will help them appear to think seriously about moving much quicker than they have.
Polls show that most Canadians agree. People here support the federal government's plan to spend $200 million taxpayer dollars rebuilding Native communities. The government has also promised to pay 70% of all court settlements. That's $20 million so far. Two-thirds of Canadians say the Anglican Synod and the Catholic Conference of Bishops should pay as well, especially when their rural dioceses are too poor to make reparations. Rick Lavoie is an Anglican who lives in Ottawa.
Well, if they can verify whether these people are actual victims of abuse, I think that's probably the right thing to do. It's a gesture of faith and asking for forgiveness.
But the total payout to victims could run into the billions of dollars. Church leaders say if that liability spreads, their national organizations could vanish entirely. Anglican Bud Smith says that would create a second class of victims, Christians who've lost their place of worship.
What is the church? It's the people who sit in the pews on Sunday. Those people, in many instances, either didn't live in the area when this abuse took place. Many of them weren't born when it took place. So it is very difficult to extrapolate why they should feel culpable for wrongs that were committed by another human being.
Native leaders say they don't want churches shut down. Many of their elders are still devout Christians, and in some parts of rural Canada, religious groups provide important social services. But Robert Joseph, now 62 years old and a chief of the Gwawa-Inuk Nation in British Columbia, says his community has suffered deeply. Compensation, he says, is a first step toward healing.
It's a huge soul-piercing kind of loneliness that we feel from time to time. And even after we've moved on from those residential schools and tried having some of our own families, that loneliness would creep up and just keep creeping up.
Tribal and government officials say the number of former students filing lawsuits could rise as high as 15,000. For NPR News, I'm Brian Mann in Ottawa.